This is WHTC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our number here is 395-1450. Our guest this morning is Judge Susan Jonas. Good morning, Judge.
Good morning, Duke.
And she is here to take your calls and answer your questions. If you have a question for the judge this morning, go ahead and call us. It won't cost you any money today, which is kind of nice. Judge, I was in jail last Saturday. I thought I should tell you that.
Really? What were you in jail for, Duke?
I was visiting the new jail in Allegan.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Have you visited that yet?
I have not.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
Last time I actually was inside of the working parts of the Ottawa County Jail was shortly after it had opened up.
Uh-huh.
And Sheriff Rosema opened it up to the public, had an open house, and I toured the entire jail. I do get out to a part of the jail when I'm on call. Our judges and magistrates rotate so that we have a magistrate or judge on call every day of the year,
mm-hmm.
Including weekends, holidays, Christmas. In fact, I happened to be on call over the Christmas holiday, and I was fortunate enough to have another judge take it for me because I had planned to be out of town. But we do go out to the jail and set bonds and to make sure that we handle everything. And there's a prosecutor that goes out to the jail as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got a pretty nice jail, and they needed it too. So
they
did. And they have room for expansion, which is also nice. We have a call on the line here. Good morning. You're on line with the judge.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
I don't know if you can answer this for me or not. My wife and I went and looked at an open house for Hulse this past weekend, and she slipped and fell. So after we got her up, got her into the house, the realtor says, "Oh, yeah, I fell there too." And then she said, "Oh, I threw water on it to try to melt it." She says, "We're not responsible if your wife got hurt." Is that true?
Well, you know, I couldn't really speak without knowing all of the circumstances, but that would be something you might want to talk to a lawyer about, and the lawyer could talk to you about who's responsible for what, under what circumstances.
Well, no offense, but I figure they're inviting you into their open house, which means, in my mind, it should be a safe environment for you to enter. And when she slipped and fell on the very same spot, then she throws water on it.
You know, there's lots of case law about circumstances similar to yours, and I'm sure that if you speak to a lawyer, that lawyer, he or she could explain all of those to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
I hope your wife's okay, by the way.
Well, luckily she is, but, you know, the realtor right away, "Well, we're not responsible."
Hmm.
I'm going, "I don't think so," but so I just figured I'd call and ask.
Okay, thank you.
Good
thank
question.
You.
Good morning. You're online with the judge.
Yeah, Judge, I don't know if you have anything to do about this, but I have a question on the jail in Ottawa County here. Why does it cost $200 a day to house a prisoner?
You know, I'm probably not the person that can answer that question. The sheriff, Gary Rosema, and his department would better be able to answer that question. I do believe that they have done some studies that explain how they can come up with a daily rate to house a prisoner at the Ottawa County Jail. And the sheriff, there are some laws that will allow them to then seek reimbursement for that. I don't know that it's $200 a day. I had thought that it might be closer to $60 a day, but the sheriff would really have to answer that. And they have a whole formula for how they figure that out with the overhead, the number of people that work there, the food that they provide, et cetera. But it's a good question, and I think Sheriff Rosema could probably answer that better than I can.
Well, this person just got a bill, and I saw the bill, and that's what it turns out to be, is $200 a day. Also, another question, this would be for the judge. If you have a person that is picked up by the police and goes to court, and then the person that had him picked up drops the charges, and they hold him in jail for 90 days. Now, what is the reason for that? They're waiting for a pretrial and stuff like this.
Well, you're talking about a criminal charge.
Correct.
Criminal charges are brought by the people of the state of Michigan, not by individuals in the vast majority of cases, probably 99.9%. It's the prosecuting attorney who decides the charge. It's not a complaining witness who can have go out and arrest someone. If it is a misdemeanor charge, if you are you have not been able to post a bond and you are awaiting trial, the longest you can be held is 28 days. We have to let people go after 28 days if they're unable to post bond and their case has not been resolved. Occasionally, someone is being held on another charge. Perhaps they may be under felony sentence and then they're awaiting trial on our misdemeanor, and we still change their bond in our case to a personal recognizance bond. But we cannot hold anyone longer than 28 days on a misdemeanor charge. The felony is different, and I'm not exactly sure how long that is.
Okay, now on this felony, that's, say, resisting arrest. They call it a felony.
Correct.
Okay, now when a person is unstable because of medication and he doesn't respond to the officer because of his illness, and that's called a felony.
It depends on what happened. In order to prove that somebody resisted or obstructed a police officer, the people of the state of Michigan would have to prove that that person took some action that resisted the officers who was engaged in illegal activity. Now, it may be a defense if someone was under medication that might provide a defense. But, of course, at the scene, you know, the officer, if they end up getting into a struggle or a fight with someone, they don't often know what kind of medication.
They're unaware of that. I understand that.
Sure. And when you said the person dropped the charges, the individual dropped the charges, it's only the prosecuting attorney who can dismiss a charge. They have to make that decision, and oftentimes they make it after consulting with a complaining witness. But it's only the prosecutor who can dismiss a charge.
Okay, because see, right now they've got these. It's pending. It's still pending.
Still pending. Okay.
Since September.
Okay.
And this person had a job, and he's had two jobs and lost both of them because they checked the record and says it's a pending felony. Well, this person, you know, can't hold a job now and can't even get a job because they say it's a pending felony.
It would depend on the employer then. I certainly see a lot of people who have felony records who are employed. It depends on the employer to make that decision.
Okay. And I will talk to Gary Rosma.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
All right, we're here with the judge this morning, and if you have a question, 395-1450.
Married or single, whether your loved one is still at home or has been in a nursing home for years, we can help, but only if you let us. 616-361-8400. This is David Carrier, your family's personal attorney.
Good morning, you're online with the judge.
Five apiece.
Wow.
If I shall pull your floor.
Hello.
The carpet in the cottage.
Hello, you're online with the judge.
So she, I cleaned for her before, and I know she thinks I probably am high.
Well, I don't know. I can't make head or tail of that call.
I couldn't hear the caller.
395-1450 is the number if you'd like to call and talk to the judge this morning. Our line is open for you. All right, well, we have a moment, Judge. Maybe we can get into the report you had there this morning.
Well, each year we put together an annual report, our court administrator does, and people might be interested because they know that the court collects fines for traffic tickets and collects fines and costs on criminal matters. And the way that those revenues are then dispersed might be of interest to people. Last year, 2012, not 2013, I should clarify, it was 2012, the county of Ottawa received $3,336,085 for the general fund that was collected in, by the district court. The state of Michigan collected $2,122,845. The libraries received $1,092,330. Those are the libraries in Ottawa County.
Mm-hmm.
And municipalities such as the City of Holland, the City of Grand Haven, the Village of Spring Lake, the village, City of Ferrisburg, who have police agencies and write tickets under local ordinance, received $640,065. So we spend a lot of time collecting money and then dispersing it to other agencies. So we're very proud of the fact that we have good collection rates. And we set our fines based on state averages. We review them generally every 3 years so that we are not charging more than the state average. We're not charging way less than the state average. We're generally right in the middle. And then there are some costs that the state tells us we have to charge, victims' rights, some filing fees that we have no discretion over.
Mm-hmm.
We must charge them.
Where would the libraries be if it wasn't for wrongdoers?
Well, and wrongdoers are oftentimes people who have committed civil infractions.
Yeah.
You know, a speeding ticket, running a stop sign, those kinds of things. That's a lot of money is generated by traffic tickets.
Mm-hmm. That's rather interesting. That's quite an amount, though, doesn't it? It really adds up.
It is, actually. And we have, it's a lot of work for the staff to try to collect them. I mean, if a judge can sit there and say, okay, you have to pay a $250 fine or serve 25 days in jail, but a judge has to make a determination that a person can pay that before we lock people up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if somebody simply is not employed and has no source of income, that jail alternative would be very unfair to those people. So we have to make a determination and before we actually say to people, we're going to lock you up because you haven't paid a fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have debtors' prisons in the United States.
Yeah. Okay. 395-1450. We're here with the judge this morning. If you have a question, you may call us at 395-1450. And we'll take a moment out for a weather word. And the weather word is brought to you this morning by the Farmhouse Restaurant in Zealand with a new breakfast menu. Some old, some new farmhouse flavors. Local, fresh, and delicious. And the hometown forecast is for mostly sunny today with a high of 30. And tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 26. And tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with a high of 42. Saturday, times of sun and clouds with a high of 34. And on Sunday, some sun, some clouds, high 25. Currently, we are reading about 4 degrees on our big thermometer here, and that will go up probably at the hour. That's when we get our change in temperatures. So, all right, we're here with the judge this morning, 395-1450. Line's open for you. And I saw the sobriety court get some nice write-up in the paper yesterday.
Yes, we've been operating a sobriety court.
Can I interrupt you for this call?
Oh, sure.
Good morning. You're online with the judge.
Yeah, I'd like to kind of talk to her a little bit.
Okay. Go ahead.
She was my judge that sentenced Renee Mendoza. She probably recognizes the name. My husband is the one that got killed in that car accident in Zealand. I'm a little disappointed she didn't get more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's not much. And then she works at Johnson Controls and asks them to appoint her attorney.
Hmm. Well,
and when you work at Johnson Control, you should be able to afford your own attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much the court paid of it, but I think it's kind of rotten.
You want to comment on that, Judge?
Okay, I think I recall exactly what case that was. This was the
March
accident
4.
That happened
when
the defendant ran a red light or a stop sign.
Red light.
Right, and unfortunately, there was an accident and a death occurred, and it's a tragic accident. It used to be under Michigan law that was a 2-year felony negligent homicide. The legislature chose to change it to a misdemeanor, civil infraction causing death, a one-year offense. And I think the legislature, at least in their some of the commentary on their intent, was that this was the kind of crime that could happen to anyone who was exercising negligence rather than a criminal intent. I feel so sorry for the family. As to the court-appointed attorney, oftentimes people may be working, but attorneys require rather large retainers that people may not be able to afford. The court does order, and I did in that case, ordered that the defendant reimburse the court for every dollar that that attorney spent
did
on
she,
the case.
Did she ever lose her license?
You know, that is up to the state of Michigan. That is the only charge that a district court judge today can suspend a license on is a possession of marijuana charge. All of the other license suspensions are imposed by the state of Michigan.
Now, the sad part of it is I got to live with it the rest of my life.
I feel very, very sorry for your family.
My grandson's still going for counseling.
And I know the family came into court and they wanted me to put her in jail for the year, the full year. And I stated on the record my reasons for not doing so. And I know that sentences that judges impose do not always please people. And I don't know that your grief, you would feel any less grief if Ms. Mendoza were in jail serving a year.
All she did is turn to us and say, I'm sorry for your loss, like she really meant it. Not one word. Not one word did she ever mean that. You say more when you go to a funeral home and talk to the person than you do right there standing. Mm-hmm. That was so fake, it was pathetic.
Well, I can't comment on that.
Okay.
I have some other calls coming in.
Thank you. Thanks, Jude.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good morning, online with the judge.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning, Judge. This is a question about a small claims situation. I believe you were the judge. This involved a tree service in Holland and a claim brought against them for some damage done. And even though the court ruled against them, they've never paid the claim. And in reading through different information, it's quite a lengthy and complicated process to force them, and the court or the judge is no longer involved in that, correct?
Only indirectly. Once somebody gets a civil judgment, the person has several opportunities or ways to collect the judgment, garnishment of wages, garnishment of assets such as bank accounts or business equipment. But it can be very challenging to collect a judgment after it's been imposed. And as I indicated earlier, you know, we don't lock people up because they owe other people money. That used to be a system 100 years ago where people owed debts. They could end up sitting in prison for years and years, and it's not allowed in this country. It can be very frustrating when you get a judgment and you walk out of court and you have a piece of paper that says, you know, XYZ tree service owes me $1,000. Now how do I collect it, especially if XYZ tree service is no longer in business or they don't have any assets? So it can be challenging. The court is involved only in that we will assist people with discovery subpoenas. If they come into court, we'll assist them in helping them determine where people work. I have on occasion had someone who owes money stand up and empty their pockets and pay what money they had in their pockets to the plaintiff, but I don't know that I ever collected more than about $40 that way. So it can be very, very frustrating. So the court can assist you, but there's a limited number of opportunities that you have to collect a judgment later on.
And really the main reason for me calling in is so that other people are aware that it's not a done deal.
Right. It is.
And I've chosen My claim was about $400, and I've chosen not even, I've not contacted the person since the time was up for them to pay, and it's not worth my time.
Right. I understand that. So many people will look almost expectantly once they have that judgment as if somehow we're going to, like, pay them out the money, but obviously the court can't do that.
And I am, you know, I am very surprised that a legitimate business in Holland that's still operating has chosen just to ignore it.
Yes.
But, again, my call was mainly for other people to be aware that it's not a done deal, and following up on it would just be not, depending on what the judgment was.
And depending on what the resources are. A lot of times people are working, and you can garnish wages, or you can seize business assets.
Yeah, but the average person, again, I've chosen just to let it be. And I just wanted to bring that to the public's attention that it's not necessarily even worth it.
It's a good point.
Okay. Thank you. I think we've discussed that before, that you may get a judgment, but you won't necessarily collect.
That's correct. That does happen.
Yeah.
And yet there are many judgments that are satisfied. And sometimes that's just people are persistent and say, I'm not going to let this person off the hook if they have the ability to pay.
Yeah.
And I can, you can make life more difficult for them too. And, you know, if they owe you money, you should be able to. Try
not
to do whatever you can.
Not good business practice, however.
My grandmother used to always say, there was a saying, you can't get blood out of a turnip. And,
that's right.
And that it has some truth to it.
Good morning. You're online with the judge.
Yeah. A few years ago, I was involved in an accident. I was going down 120th Avenue. Kid ran a stop sign at, what would that be, New Holland Street. And it was, I think it was Officer Ryan Reisinger, anyway. He totaled my car and he totaled his car. And he admitted to the officer that he runs that stop sign all the time. He just looks both ways and blows right through it. And I guess my question is or my point is I got a ticket and he didn't. And who controls what the officers are doing out there? I mean, if I were his supervisor, I would have reprimanded him for that, because, you know, it's just not right. I mean, the kid totals my car and his car and admits he runs a stop sign all the time. It just doesn't seem fair.
Is that a four-way stop, 120th in New Holland?
No, it isn't. It's a stop where he's supposed to stop on New Holland and 120th runs straight through. That's Waverly Road.
Okay. I can't speak as to why you would have received a ticket then if you were on 120th and he was supposed to stop. But if you felt that was inappropriate, again, the sheriff's department, the supervisor of the deputy that handled the case would be the appropriate person to bring that to their attention.
I did call him, too, and he just said it was something about a discretion of the officer, and I don't know, I just thought I was pretty shocked about that. But like I said, he could have killed me and himself, and I'm the one who walked away with a ticket. But there is injustice out there, but that's the way it goes, I guess.
Well, I'm sorry that happened, but I'm glad you weren't injured personally.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
And another call coming in. Good morning. You're online with the judge.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I haven't been in the New Elgin County Jail, but I was very pleased to hear that they have some training facilities there.
Yes.
And also that they have a place where prisoners can be outside or look outside.
Right.
And this is something that the Ottawa County Jail seems to be lacking, and I just would like to know if the judge, being in her position, can influence any changes in that system.
You know, I don't have any influence any more than any other taxpayer in Ottawa County when it comes to things like how the jail is run. That is the sheriff's domain.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's a good question.
Good morning. You're online with the judge.
Yeah, I'd like to tell the judge that I had the same problem with that officer that that gentleman called in about. I would like them to kind of look into him once and see what the problem is. We've got a lot of these younger kids in there now that are police officers that I really don't think that need to really be on that job. They're not meant for that job. But in Ottawa County's got a lot of them. That's just my opinion. You're doing a good job, though. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I can't comment beyond the fact that we see really high quality law enforcement in the police agencies throughout the county. I deal mostly with City of Holland and Ottawa County, but the officers are always well prepared and professional when they come to court. So I'm sorry to hear that some people have had other experiences.
Now, most of the traffic cases don't come before the court at all, do they?
Most of the traffic cases are handled by our magistrates, but we do get appeals from them, and then we do handle traffic cases that involve things like drunk driving and driving on a suspended driver's license or reckless driving, those kinds of cases.
And I guess we won't have time for another call here this morning. I certainly want to thank you, Judge, for being our guest this morning and coming here and kind of putting yourself on the pan sometimes for justice.
Well, I always enjoy coming. I'm sorry when I can't answer people's questions. I'm not trying to duck questions when I say, well, I have to refer that to the sheriff. But there just simply are some questions that I wish I could answer, but I can't.
Some are out of your bailiwick.
They're out of my bailiwick.
Yeah. Well, we thank you very much anyhow for being our guest this morning.